Blog Talk Radio.
And good morning, everybody, and welcome to Chalk Talk. I am your host, Kim Davis. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Super excited to be with you today and excited about the guest who's going to be joining us in just a few minutes. Calvin Watkins, you may have, if you've been following Chalk Talk for a while, you've seen him here before. He used to be the Rockets writer for ESPN, and he left there when they did away with that position. And he then went to New York and covered the Jets for the New York Newsday or Daily News. I don't remember which one of the New York papers, but he is back in Texas. He's covering the Cowboys for The Athletic, and he will join us in about 10 minutes after the hour. Until then, we're going to go through a few things happening around the world of sports. Of course, I mentioned the Cowboys. If you are in Houston, the Cowboys are also in Houston. They're in town today to take on the Texans in the final preseason game at NRG Stadium. What's interesting about this year, the Cowboys and the Texans, is that they will also play a regular season game also here at NRG Stadium. So a lot of Cowboys and Texans this year, not just the usual preseason game that has basically no meaning other than bragging rights about who's the best on I-45. So a lot to get to as it relates to the Texans and what's happening with the Cowboys. And we're going to talk to Calvin about the Jets trading Teddy Bridgewater to the Saints. But until we get to Calvin, until he joins us, you feel free to send me your questions that you'd like to have us talk about on today's show. Everything's on the table. And, of course, let me start the show as I will end the show reminding you, encouraging you to register to vote. If you are not registered to vote, you still have time. I believe the deadline is October 8th. Don't hold me on that. I'll get a definite date for you. The election is in November. You have to be registered 30 days prior. Make sure you get registered. If you say, you know what, Kim, I'm already registered, that's awesome. Go out and get somebody else registered. Register at least 5 people. 10 would be great. Register someone and then sit down, maybe have some people over for some hot tea or coffee or a glass of wine or whatever your thing is, and talk about issues, policies, who's running. There are always a lot of judges on the ballot. Look at the judges. Know who they are, what they stand for. This is a really crucial time, guys. We have got to be prepared, and the only way you can do that is by being a part of the process. And so if you live in what they call a red state, I live in Texas, do not subscribe to the theory that your vote doesn't matter, that only people who are Republicans can win statewide. That is not true. We have had people in the state of Texas to win who were not Republican in my lifetime, and I'm not just ancient. So what I say to you is, you know, maybe you want to vote. Maybe you want to vote for Republicans. What I say is be registered and vote for someone who is doing the things that will impact your community and your family and your finances and your health and things that matter to you in a way that makes sense, okay? You can't do that if you're not registered. You cannot do that if you don't know who's running and what the issues are. So get registered, get someone else registered, and make sure you stay tuned here. We will be talking more about bringing you some voter registration, voter education along the way. So I encourage you to, you know, be a part of that and to also be a part of the Chalk Talk family and tribe. If you're watching this show now, I ask that you to please, please, please share this with your social media community. If you're watching this live on Facebook, if you'll share the video, hit that share button, and then the people who will follow you can also follow us and be a part of the show that hopefully that you enjoy. Again, this is Chalk Talk. My name is Kim Davis, and we have some exciting things that are coming up. It is the fall. Oh, man, there's so much going on. We're going to talk about football, but I'm going to put a pause in it. I'll wait until Calvin joins us for that. But there's also this little thing called a pennant race going on, right? Pardon me. The Houston Astros are The Houston Astros just won 2 out of 3 games against the Oakland A's in the American League West. That was big. That was necessary. Yesterday was an afternoon game. It was a great game. It took Tyler White's walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth to win it. The score was tied at 4. The Astros win it 5-4. They got 2 out of 3 in that series. And now they welcome in, I believe, the Los Angeles Angels come to town tonight. Yes, the Angels start tonight for a 4-game series. I will not be at that game. I will be at NRG Stadium for the Cowboys in Texas, but I will be following that game, and I'll probably go out to see the Astros tomorrow night. This is also the start of college football, everybody. College football season officially kicks off this weekend. Lots of football. There's the Advocare Classic. Is that what it's called? There's so many games at NRG Stadium on Saturday morning. Prairie View kicks off its season this weekend. Texas Southern University, well, not it kicks off. Prairie View played last weekend, lost to Rice University by 3. Had a lead, I think, by 9 at least going into the final quarter, or 11 in the fourth quarter, and ended up losing that game by a field goal. So this weekend, Texas Southern University kicks off its season at BBVA Compass Stadium on Saturday night. So I'll probably do some Astros on Friday, maybe TSU on Saturday. It is that time of year where there is always something going on. So what are you looking forward to this season? And hey, listen, if you are among the people who are boycotting the NFL because of what's been happening as it relates to Colin Kaepernick and the flack about the anthem, then I understand. I hope that you will still listen to Chalk Talk and be a part of what we do here, because, as you know, we do a whole lot more than just talk about the National Football League. But now you can even get your updates if you don't want to watch it, because I'll be bringing those to you. I will also talk to you about what's happening around college sports. We'll cover the national scene, of course, and locally Prairie View A&M, Texas A&M, Texas Southern University, Rice University. That's who we cover locally in terms of universities. And, you know, of course, Texas is up the road. It's not too far, but I would call them more national. I guess Texas is Texas and Texas A&M. We call those local, not just because I'm an Aggie, but because they are the schools that the biggest schools in the state. So much to get to on today. I mentioned to you about voting. Make sure you get registered. Make sure you know who you're voting for. I need to pull up something that I want to make sure I don't forget to talk to you about. So I mentioned to you about the Houston Astros, and that the Astros won 2 out of 3 in their home series with the Oakland A's. The Astros now are, what, 2.5 games up in the AL West. They look like they were in good position to hold on and have some success. Let me move this microphone. I was listening to one of the national radio shows this morning when I was coming back from the gym, and they were saying the Astros have one of the weakest schedules of the top teams for the month of September. It's not anything the Astros did. It's the schedule makers. So the Astros should hold on. That's the thought, that the Astros should hold on to win their division, right? They should. They're in first place in the American League West. I know that we have that there was some concern, right, because they had some moments where they struggled a bit, and they lost some games. That is baseball. It's a long season. There are a lot of games. And so, you know, while some people were worried, I said, listen, you can't get too worried about it. Oh, speaking of Astros news, A.J. Hinch, the Astros manager, is getting an extension, a contract extension. I don't think anybody would have any beef with that. I'm sure that's what the 3:00 press conference is about today at Minute Maid Park, to talk about A.J. Hinch and his contract extension. The owner, Jim Crane, is going to be there. Also, the president of baseball operations and general manager, Jeff Luhnow, and Astros manager, A.J. Hinch. So I will try to rush over to dash out and check out, go over to Minute Maid Park and catch the press conference before I come back and get ready to go to the game this evening. So A.J. Hinch has done a really good job with his Astros team. And so he is being rewarded with a contract extension. I believe his current contract went through 2019 with an option year. I don't know what the terms are yet. I guess we'll know more about that later in terms of how many years. They won't tell you the money, but we won't have a hard time finding that out. And yesterday morning before the game, yesterday afternoon, before the Astros' 1 o'clock afternoon start, they placed right-hand pitcher Charlie Morton on a 10-day disabled list with a right shoulder kind of an issue. They said he has some discomfort. They only expect him to miss one start, and they reinstated Chris Davinsky from the 10-day DL and activated him for yesterday's game. So that is what is happening. Let me see. I wanted to see what else we had. Oh, the Astros released their spring training schedule for 2019. Okay, are they all about it? Are they on top of it all? Yes, they are. So that's what's happening with the Astros. And I think, as I mentioned to start the show, the big thing is that this Astros team is in position to see here. The Astros team is in position to hold on and win the American League Conference. So, let's see. The American League West. And, you know, when you're at the top, you have a better chance for home field, at least for part of the postseason. And we are excited about another Astros postseason. Their pitching looks good. Robert, oh, here's something else of note. If you are an Astros fan, if you follow baseball and this Astros team, is that Roberto Osuna, did an interview with USA Today or Yahoo Sports, and he said that, you know, basically he maintains that he's innocent. He's not really talking about the case as it relates to the domestic violence charges and the arrest. He says that soon he will be able to talk about it, and he is disappointed that people have been judging him and without knowing the whole story. So hopefully with Robert Osuna, we will get to hear what he has to say sooner than later. And hopefully that will, you know, shed some light on the situation, and it's not, you know, maybe in fact he didn't do anything wrong. We don't know the story yet, but, you know, the initial thought is that really the Astros have this double standard because they said they had a zero tolerance for domestic violence abuse after seeing one of the Astros minor leaguers beating up his girlfriend in a stairway in the spring. They, you know, that's Calvin. He's in route, so he'll be joining us shortly. So that, you know, they said no, they could not have him be a part of the Astros organization because of that incident. At any rate, we'll see what happens. We'll see what the Astros. We'll see what Robert Osuna has to say once he can fully talk about the case and all the information is made public. And so we'll talk about that here as well, because we indeed want to be fair. And if in fact he didn't do anything wrong, then, you know, we should say that as well, right? We should also talk about the fact that he didn't do anything wrong, and we should not hold him responsible, but we'll have to wait. You know, when you hear that someone is given a 75-game suspension, it is it's startling, and it does make you say, man, what in the world? But as I said, we'll know soon enough, and I'll keep you posted on that. But in the meantime, he got the win on yesterday. So Roberto Osuna, who the Astros have officially named as their closer. All right, so what's on your mind this week? What's on my mind is that the fall, just like the spring, when all these sports kind of cross paths, and maybe more so in the fall, because it's when you have spring training, and you have basketball, and you have March Madness, and maybe you have a draft. But in the fall, you actually have football season. You have another month, maybe we'll be talking about basketball season, you know, about the Rockets reporting and basketball season being underway. So this is just a fun time of year if you're a sports fan. There is so much going on, and there's so much to talk about. One of the things I am going to, I'm looking forward to bringing you is an interview with a mother who unfortunately lost her son, who was a football player, to prematurely lost her son, and she has started a foundation in his name. I haven't met her, but I did meet someone who knows her the other day when I was dropping off some treats at Sunshine's, and I look forward to talking with her and telling her story and seeing what her foundation is doing to make sure that young people get the necessary physicals and the right kind of advanced treatment and notice so that we can avoid some of these tragic stories about a young person, about anybody losing their life because they didn't have the proper training, they didn't have the proper preventive measures in place, and they didn't know everything about their illness and maybe hadn't even discovered if they had some sort of a heart murmur or challenge. So I look forward to talking about that as well. Whoops. Again, if you are watching, I'm going to ask you to share the show. I'm going to go ahead and share it to my regular Kim Davis page on my timeline. So that people who follow me on my timeline can also tune in and catch us today on Chalk Talk. So we've talked about the Houston Astros and the fact that they are maintaining their lead in the American League West, that we are headed into the final season. They'll get a little more help starting on Saturday because at September, you know, once September 1st kicks in, you get to expand your rosters. And so, let's see here. I'm going to tell you what the Astros have left. They are home through the weekend. Here we go. All right. So they play the A's for 3 games. Today they start a 4-game series with the Angels. Tonight, tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There we go. It's a September schedule. And it's actually, is it 4 games? Then they play Saturday and Sunday. Then next week they play the Twins at home, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday before getting the day off on Thursday. It looks like they have 3 Thursdays off in a row. That's rare. They don't get that much time off. Then they head to Boston to play the Red Sox for 3, then Detroit to play the Tigers for 3, a day off before coming home for a 9 game homestand. So they have 9 games at home, and then they end their season on the road, right? They end their season in Toronto and Baltimore. But they will play at home, the home series that is still left. For those of you who say, I'm interested in going to check out the Astros, Kim, they play the Angels at home, they play the Twins at home. Then they're on the road for about a week. They come back and they play the Diamondbacks and the Mariners and the Angels again at home. So you still have time to see some regular season baseball with the Houston Astros before we get to postseason. So it is, listen, I'm always talking about how much fun it is to go to an Astros game. It's a great venue. It's, you know, they do great with their in-game kind of entertainment. And it's good baseball. Like yesterday was a great baseball game. If you like action and excitement, you had pitching, you had defense, you had hitting, you had, you know, drama. That's what makes sports really fun. The Astros give you some of that, right? It gives you some of that. And let me say this while we're talking about the Astros before we switch. I'm going to go and talk about tennis in just a moment. for those of you who've hit me up and said, man, Carlos Correa, why does AJ Hinch leave him in the cleanup spot? He can't hit. So one of the things I think we know about AJ Hinch is that he is not going to pull players in and out a lot. If you are his guy and you're going through a slump, he's going to stick with you. And so one of the things that does is helps with player confidence. I mean, you go through slumps and you go through these times and these phases. Let me see what Carlos Correa is hitting right now. but, you know, you can't give up. I mean, what is he, 23 years old? I mean, Carlos Correa is the future, right? He is definitely a part of the future. He is... Where is he now? What is he hitting this year? So he's hitting 249. It's not great. His on-base percentage is 330. And he has 59 RBIs, 14 home runs. So, you know, it is not in his last seven games, okay? So in his last seven games, he's hit 172. Like his last 15 games, he hit 190. And in his last 30 games, he was hitting 221. So he has not been hitting great over the second half of the season. Okay, so the last seven games, he's had 29 at-bats. He's only gotten five hits, one home run, five RBIs, two walks, five strikeouts. So in his last 29 at-bats, he has five hits and five strikeouts. Four or six runs. His average is 175. His on-base percentage is 212. And his slugging percentage is 276. So, right, that has not been great as of late for Carlos Correa, especially for a guy who finished 2017 with a 315 batting average, right? That's the guy that we expect and hope to see. And I think that what AJ Hinch is basically doing and saying is you got to stick with your guys and go with them through these phases and slumps. Well, the Astros to be the kind of team that we talk about winning World Series, never settling and maybe going back to repeat, they're going to have the services of a Carlos Correa along with Altuve, who actually went down swinging twice yesterday in yesterday's game. George Springer, you know, Alex Bregman is playing well, you know, all of the guys up and down this lineup. So it is not that easy, which is why, you know, AJ gets paid the big bucks. You have to make those tough, tough decisions. Rotating yesterday the way he had to make the changes with guys on the mound in terms of who do we bring in, what changes do we make. You know, you're going to have everybody, you know, Yuli Gurriel, Correa, Bregman, Altuve, Marwin Gonzalez has been playing well. Somebody mentioned Tony Kemp earlier in the tweet, George Springer. I mean, you just have to know that you can't give up on guys and you can't make these quick moves when you think things aren't quite going like you would like for them to. So, at any rate, you are listening to Chalk Talk. We're going to give Calvin Watkins a few more minutes. He should be joining us shortly. And we're going to skip over to talking about let's see here. I wanted to see if there was something else I wanted to tell you on as it relates to the Houston Astros. The schedule there. Okay. So here's the other thing I told you we talk about today, and that's the U.S. Open. The U.S. Open, the final of the major Grand Slam tournaments is underway in New York, and Venus Williams and Serena Williams are both playing. Of course, last year, Serena did not play. She was about to give birth to her daughter, who is just shy of being a year old. And so Serena Williams, who, let me just say this before we talk about the U.S. Open. Have you seen the two ads, the ad that Chase did with Serena, and then there's one that Nike did. Nike, I mean, they've just done some great ads. I mean, it's really, you know, really good creative work. You know, the ad where you see her on the court in Compton with her father, when he's teaching her, when Richard Williams is teaching her when she's young, and they cut to different times along the way of her journey, becoming a, you know, clearly the greatest, if not the greatest tennis player or female tennis player of all time. And it was just a really well done spot. And then she has another one where she's talking about, hey, Kim Edwards, welcome, welcome. The other spot where she's talking about, it's not a comeback, playing off of the LL Cool J song. So, yeah, whether you are a tennis fan or not, you have to appreciate what the Williams sisters have done, are doing, what their family has done, and just the brilliance of their father, Richard Williams, and what he did and how he taught them the game of tennis, and more importantly, not just the game of tennis, but how he taught them about self-confidence and excellence and being champions. Because a lot of people know how to play the game of tennis, but not many, and very few know about being real champions like the Williams sisters. When they are not at the top of their game, the women's tennis doesn't quite have the panache, right? And it's because the other players, I mean, the number one player in the world this week, Halep, lost in the first round. She's out. Sharapova, the princess that everyone loves, had a heck of a match against Patty Schneider, who is, I think, the oldest active player on the tour, at least the oldest player, female player in the tournament. She's 39. She gave Sharapova a run for her money, and I was so hoping that she would have pushed it to a third set. It was a great match. The first set, not so much, but the second set went to a tiebreak. And, Sharapova left that match winded, knowing that she could not play that way if she has any hopes of winning the tournament. So, but the Williams sisters will play tomorrow in the third round, and, you know, it's the luck of the draw, if you will, and you know, one of them will advance, one of them won't. So it's because they have the juice, black girl magic, as Kim said. Let me tell you something. They are exciting and inspirational. And so it just goes to show you, it doesn't matter if you have all the fancy stuff, all the extra tools. What you need is the substance, and you need somebody that believes in you and can tell you and teach you the things that really matter. And so I have long maintained that while the USTA has this junior development program where they work on developing young players, which, you know, is good, and, you know, I think they fall short in a lot of areas, and part of it is recognizing and managing the fact that there are cultural differences. Right. So when you have different cultures, you know, from different backgrounds and different experiences, you have to be able to address those if you want to talk about them being your teaching and grooming champions. You talked about just some good tennis players. You wanted to get to where the United States had more people, more women, more young men in the top 50. Or are you talking about champions? Because being a champion, being the number one player in the world, and being the number 10 player in the world, while being number 10 is a, you know, nothing to laugh at. It's hard work to get there, but it is a huge jump to being the champion and to be a perennial champion than being a really good, consistent top 10 player. Some people don't want to be any more than a top 10. And understand that I'm not acting, I don't want to position that being a top 10 tennis player in the world as being a small task, that it's not important, and that anybody can get there. What I'm saying is that takes a lot of work and a lot of talent. But getting to that next level, being in the top 5, is a big jump. And getting to be number 1 because of all that comes with it, all the pressure and all the expectations and the requirements, there are players I've heard say off the record that they don't know if they want to be number 1 in the world, if truth be told, because there's a lot. It's hard to match up to. So we talk about pressure, and it makes me think about what is Sloane Stephens going to do this year. Sloane Stephens, of course, won the U.S. Open last year. Let's see what her draw was. And so is she going to be able to match up to that pressure? She plays tomorrow, round of 32. She's the third seeded player in the tournament, and she is the defending champion. So She won her first match. She won on Monday, actually, to Straight Sex 6-1, 7-5. And then she won yesterday, her second match. It took her 3 sets. She lost the first set, 4-6. Then she came back and won the second set, the next 2 sets, 7-5, 6-2. So she has achieved a career best ranking at number 3 in the world this summer. That's the highest she's been. So kudos to Sloane Stephens. She's 25 years old. And she is coached by Kamau Murray. You've heard us talk about him here on the show. Kamau has a great tennis program also in Chicago, where he is teaching young people, has a tennis and education program. So what will Sloane Stephens do in this tournament, right? How will Sloane Stephens fare? And will she be able to handle the pressure? Because there's a lot to that, right? Because you're the defending champion, and there's an expectation that you will have, a certain level of success because you've been here before. So we'll see what happens, right? I just want to see good tennis. And when Venus and Serena play, you know, you want to see good tennis. They played, I think this will be their 30th time meeting, facing each other as professionals. And, it's, people used to say, oh, my gosh, it's rigged. Well, sometimes it's just unavoidable. I mean, it's the luck of the draw. And, Venus's ranking is, I was going to pull up the, when they play. They play tomorrow night. So they play in the round of 32, the third round. And Venus is the 16th seed, and Serena is the 17th. So we don't know what time they're playing yet, but they played their first professional match against each other in the second round of the 1998 Australian Open. That's the first time they met as professional players, right? Venus won that match in straight sets, and Serena was coming off her first Grand Slam championship at the U.S. Open and defeated her older sister and defending champion in 3 sets. So, listen, they have had, they've had some tough matches, and there are people who are like, man, you don't get the best tennis when they play against each other. Listen, somebody's going to win, someone's going to lose. That's just what it is. And I would imagine the person that it's most difficult on is their mother, Aurasene, who has to sit and watch both of her daughters playing against each other, but on the world stage. So it'll be fun to watch. Venus and Serena, it's great to see them both. Serena, I mean, you think about how long they've been playing at this level. Like, how long they've been doing this for more than 2 decades. I mean, they've been playing at a level of excellence, and where you talk about them being champions for a really long time. And so I saw an interview with Serena this week on MSNBC with Stephanie Ruhle, and she talked about motherhood. And so Stephanie said, well, do you want to kind of prove that you can, get to the same level, in terms of being a mom? And, Serena, which I thought was true, poignant, she said, it's not about proving anything to anybody else. She's never done that. She probably would not have been able to have the kind of success she's had. You got to just believe in yourself and do what it is you want to do because what your plan is. And she does like having her daughters with her every day. She said she's never been without her a day. She's on the tour with her because, she's not quite a year yet. So she's a baby. She's able to, take her on the road and spend time with her on the road. And she's adjusting and handling this motherhood piece. And so I think it's really cool how she has shared that as a part of her journey along the way, talking about motherhood and the challenges of that, and also the excitement and how she relishes the moment of being able to spend this time with her daughter and do both, compete at this level on the tennis court and also, figure out how to be a mom. And like she said, she gets, no one can quite tell you how to do it. You have to live it, and you learn it that way. But her mother, she's got her mother who has who has raised five, she, who has raised five kids. She has some friends and family. And so she also said, which I thought was really interesting, that social media has been helpful to her, because sometimes when she's feeling something or experiencing something, she will post it on social media. Hey, Sandra, welcome, welcome. And say, does anybody been through this? Does anybody have a thought? And that she has gotten great support by sharing some of her experiences and being a relatively new mom, because her daughter is not quite a year yet. And she's gotten great feedback and support. So I'm glad that social media has been helpful to her and kind in that regard. And if you follow her, you will see her talk about things she experienced. Like she talked about how she missed her daughter's first step. That was really, either she was playing or practicing, and she felt awful about that. And she said when she posted it and talked about it on social media, that she had people respond and say, you know what, I have too. I missed this for my kid, and these things happen. And so she just talked about how that has been really helpful and kind of life-giving to her. So if you go online and follow Venus and Serena, but Serena is sharing her journey of motherhood, has been really interesting. And I'm telling you, those two pieces that, those two commercials that we've seen recently come out, the one for Chase and also the one for Nike with Serena, I'm telling you, the Chase creative people are really on it. You know, they did a video that really captured her and her journey, her evolution from those young days when she's on the court with her dad, Richard, until she has hit some of the milestones she's hit as a professional. So at any rate, make sure, guys, you share the video for me, please, as we continue to build our Chalk Talk audience and our tribe. And I've talked to you before about a show that I'm working on. It's called Sports Bites with Kim, but the show is ready to go. And so what I'm doing is just building my base of sponsorship so that we can launch the show. And I'm hoping to launch it in 30 to 45 days. That is aggressive, but I want to get this show up and running. And so I ask for your support. And if you know people that may be a good someone I should contact, reach out to, inbox me, or you can email me kim@kimydavis.com. I would appreciate it. Yes, the commercials are amazing. I mean, the commercials are amazing. It's just exciting. And so if you have, you know, kids, or even for yourself, you know, you sit down and you show them that. You show that to your young daughter and your son. And or if you are having moments where you feel a little less than inspired, those are the kinds of images I'm excited to see and that I hope that we see more of. And, of course, one of the ways that we see more of those kinds of images is we have people telling stories in a position to show us those things, which is one of the reasons that I love doing Chalk Talk, because I'm, you know, able to bring you some of those stories and some of those people and working to bring you even more of them. So, if you just joined, if you're watching the replay and you didn't maybe start from the beginning, I am going to always say, ask you, are you registered to vote? If your answer is no, that's okay. You have time. Get registered. All you have to do is go online and find out how to get registered. You have to be registered. You've got a month. So they say October 8th, I believe, is the deadline. Let's just say the end of September. Let's not have any problems. You got a whole month ahead of you. Make that your Labor Day resolution, right? Okay, I made that up. But get registered to vote, because it is so super important. This is a pivotal time in our country, in our lives, and the way you can be a part of it is to be a part of the conversation, is to be engaged, to be informed, and to let your voice be heard. So vote. Register to vote. And if you're registered, get someone else registered, right? Help somebody, you know, encourage somebody else to be registered to vote. I have really worked on moving beyond a place of judgment when people tell me that they're not registered and they're not going to vote because it doesn't matter. Because it's not for me to judge people regardless of how ridiculous they may sound. But I'm going to tell you, guys, I don't have any space and tolerance for that. We don't have the luxury right now. We are in, this is critical mass, right? It is all hands on deck, right? Everybody needs to be involved. And Xander makes a great point. Get those 18-year-olds in your life registered. Absolutely. The young people are our future. They're doing some amazing things. If you don't believe it's true, just look what's happening around the nation. Look what happened in Florida this week. It is clearly a movement of young people that are making a difference. And so we need people who will stop trying to divide us and do more to bring us together, have some real solutions, you know, address issues that matter, pay attention to what's happening in the courts. That is one of the things that will impact your life, whether you want it to or not, yours and the people around you. So this election is very critical. One of the things that has been happening under the Trump administration is they have been putting in these federal judges, these very, 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 very conservative judges that are right-leaning, not just right-leaning, they're super conservative, okay? They're changing the face of the court. And understand that those appointments are lifetime, those federal judgeships. And so they have really been changing the court. So pay attention. So it does matter who sits in every seat, because the person in the White House gets to decide who is going to, you know, be in the Justice Department and who's going to be over at education. Let's not even talk about that Betsy DeVos today. I need a time out from her. We can't buy school supplies, but let's please buy guns for the teachers. We can't raise the wages for teachers, but, yeah, let's go ahead and get them some guns because that's important. At any rate, I digress. My point is simply this. If you are not registered to vote, if you don't get people around you and start talking to young people about the importance, if somebody says to you, it doesn't matter, I live in Texas, or I live in Mississippi, or I live in Alabama, my vote doesn't count. Ask people in Alabama, right? Ask Roy Moore. Was that his name, the pedophile that was trying to be a senator in Alabama who didn't win? Because black women showed up and showed out. So, yes, our votes do count and matter. We are only 15% of the population. I understand that. But when we show up, we do show out. And black women especially have had a huge role in what's been happening in these elections and these changes. You know, it needs to be clear that if you are not doing things to bring us together, to create some opportunities to, you know, restore our standing internationally so that we can feel comfortable traveling and moving around, that we can, you know, have some health, we can have health care, that our kids can be educated without having to take out second mortgages. You know, there's just so much that needs to happen, and we need to make sure that folks in office have our best interests at heart. Like, I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm just telling you to pay attention. I'm encouraging you and strongly suggesting that you go get registered, okay? I'm just telling you, get registered, right? Get registered and get somebody else registered. And Xandra had a great point. Get those 18-year-olds in your life registered as well. You know, since they've taken social studies out of school and, you know, we've been testing, learning for the test for years, the civics lessons and those things that we learned when I was growing up in school, those things aren't necessarily a part of the curriculum in public education, in most education, I guess. I remember I could not wait until I turned 18 so that I could vote. My parents used to take me with them to vote. I used to volunteer with my parents. We used to work in the polls. My grandfather worked at the polls. He was a precinct judge. And so I just don't understand this apathy about voting. You know, it's a conversation that every week on this show we're going to have. I don't care who's in office, because everybody needs to be held accountable, okay? And if we don't vote, then they don't pay any attention to you or your neighborhood. They look at zip codes and go, oh, in 77004, they didn't really have a big turnout. So they can be low on the list of people that we have to address. That is how it works, people. That is how it works. So that's my voter education moment. I've talked to you about Venus and Serena, and Calvin must have gotten tied up, or maybe he just doesn't want to talk about those cowboys that he covers in Jerry Jones. I will see him tonight, and I'll get him on the podcast as well. I also will be launching the Chalk Talk podcast in addition to the show on Thursdays, where they're just straight interviews with people and talking about issues. We're going to talk. I mentioned a lady, Terry. Let me get her name right. I was glad to hear from her. Tracy Wilson. She has a foundation called the Terrell Wilson Foundation. And that was, Terrell Wilson was her son, who unfortunately passed away because this foundation was started back in 2007. She tragically lost her son, who died suddenly of an undetected aortic dissection of the heart. He was 14 years old. So one of the things that Tracy Wilson is doing is trying to make sure that there are adequate physicals for young children who are interested in playing in physical activities, because the physicals that they often get are just not substantial enough. So I'm going to work. I met somebody in Sunshine who knew her and said, hey, would you willing to talk to her? And I said, absolutely. I didn't want to talk to her. I'd love to have her on the show and talk about her son and talk about her foundation and what she's doing, so that we can, you know, this is the kind of information I want to be able to share with you so that you know. That means that the Terrell Wilson Foundation is a total sports fitness foundation. That may be something you want to support, right? Because if it's helping young people get the right kind of physicals and be prevention, so that the children can be heart healthy, that they're physically fit, they're academically challenged, all those things that are necessary. If somebody's helping do that, we want to be a part of the, see you tonight. We want to be a part of those efforts, right? There's so many people that are doing good work that we just don't always know about. So I've been talking to a boxer who lives here, but he came here from New Orleans and is interested. And I mean, he's one of the top in his weight classes. I've actually been talking to his representative. Actually, I haven't met him yet, but they want to do some things in Houston. He wants to do some stuff in some schools, and he wants to make a positive impact here, because he said Houston's been very kind to him since he came here. He's originally from New Orleans. But, you know, this is a boxer who's saying, hey, I'm getting ready for my next fight, but what can I do? How do we do that? So to the extent that I can help in some of those cases, at least bring those stories to the forefront, in addition to the ones that I'm going to tell you. I'm going to talk to you about what's happening with the Rockets and the Astros and the Texans and at the U.S. Open and on the golf tour and, you know, all those places. I also want you to know about things that are happening in our communities that are really important and impactful. So look up the Terrell Wilson Foundation, and I look forward to his mom, Tracy Wilson, being a part of the show in the future. Now, I haven't even spoken to her. She did send me an email. So, you know, she hasn't agreed to be on the show, but I feel pretty confident that she's going to want to join us. But can you imagine that at 14 years old, your son, he was a freshman at high school in Suwanee, Georgia. He was an honors student. He played on the ninth grade football team. And he had been active playing football since the fifth grade. He was a ninth grader. And he hoped to attend LSU. And he wanted to be a doctor. He wanted to go to LSU and be a doctor. And his young life was cut short at the age of 14 after he suddenly died because of his undetected aortic issue with his heart. So I look forward to talking to Tracy and bringing her a part of the show. Xander says, I'm a band mom, and sometimes, you know what, you're absolutely right. Band isn't realized as a sport. But on the contrary, those kids are very physical and need thorough exams. Look it up. Absolutely. And I have a friend who would tell me the same thing about cheerleaders. But think about the bands, the kids that play in the band. They're in those uniforms. It's hot. They have practice. I mean, so they as well need to be in a certain, have a certain level of physical fitness because what is required of them, you know. And then they wear those hats. Listen, hats off, no pun intended, to those in band, because the people in band also need to make sure that they are, you know, checked on and get the right physicals and all that kind of stuff. So absolutely. All right, we are just about out of time today's show. I am guessing that Calvin Watkins was not able to join us. But listen, I am glad that all of you did. Zandra, welcome to Chalk Talk. Glad you can make it. Yay. And listen, make sure you share the video with your friends, with your community online, because that's how we will build the audience. Because they didn't join us live, they can join us and catch the playback. I'll repost it on all my pages and ask that you do the same. I will be covering the Texans game tonight at 3:00. I'll go over and get a quick little interview with AJ Hinch, who is undoubtedly getting a contract extension and undoubtedly a raise. When you win World Series and you have your team in position to win the division again, I don't have any problem with you getting a contract extension and a raise. Good for him. So that is going to do it for me today. Remember, follow me online. If you if you're a friend of mine on my regular Facebook page, great. Make sure you follow me on Kim Y. Davis. That way you'll get updates about the show. And also follow me on Twitter, at Kim Y. Davis. It's real easy to find me, everybody. Kim Y. Davis will pretty much get me everywhere. On Instagram, it's kim.y.davis. Follow me over the next few days. I'll have updates about all the things happening. We'll talk about Texas Southern University. They have their home opener on Saturday night. I will be there. I'll talk about Astros. I will be there. And I'll also be some other places you might not be so you're surprised to see. So have a great, great weekend. And whatever you do, do something kind for yourself and something kind for somebody else. I'll see you next week, everybody. Thanks for joining me. Until next time.